Hi, everyone, and welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 196 for September 17th, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And if you listen to podcasts, I'm also reposting the audio only version of every episode on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, and wherever else people listen to podcasts. So just search for timingresearch.com and subscribe there. Today, we will be discussing the 260th weekly report. So that's 5 years now that I've been doing this report every week. You should be seeing the PDF version on your screen right now while I'm talking. You can also go to timingresearch.com to see the browser version or download the full PDF there. I have Dave Landry back to moderate today, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Thank you, David Cosmeter, and thanks to Timing Research for having me back once again. And no particular order other than the order you logged in. I'm going to call on you guys, as you know. I think everybody here is a veteran except for Adrian. And since you were the first log in, let's go to you first. Adrian Togari from tradingontarget.com. Welcome to the show. We'll be gentle, don't worry. But for those of us who don't know you, Adrian, tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about tradingontarget.com.
Well, thank you for having me. 25 years ago, I worked as a coach for people in the performing arts and sports. 22 years ago, a friend introduced me to the trading world and traders. What I found was that traders needed the same kind of psychological coaching that performances and sports people did. I love the idea of working with the healthy people who want to become healthier in the pocketbook. Since then, I've traveled all over the world to conferences, expos, and have done television and radio shows on the subject. Traders have inspired me to write 13 books on the psychology of trading and still manage to give me more material till this day.
Cool. Really interesting there. A lot of I see a lot of sports analogies often making comparison to the traders and the athletes there. Good stuff. Okay, let's go to you next, John. John's a veteran of the show, John Thomas from MadHedgeFundTrader.com. For those of us who don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself and MadHedgeFundTrader.com.
Yeah, John Thomas here, 50 years in the business. Gets easier every year. We do long and short recommendations on stocks, bonds, foreign exchange, energy, commodities, and so on. Our year-to-date performance now sits at 30%. Our trailing 1 year is at 43%. And we provide a daily research service and trade mentoring service. Just go to madhedgefundtrader.com and you will find our website and opportunities to sign up for free research.
Cool. All right. Let's go to you, Simon. Simon Klein from TradeSmartForex.com. For those of us who don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself and TradeSmartForex.com. I think you're the only person that's not in the States today. Is that correct?
That's correct. I think. Yeah. I think it's Jody in the States. North America. Okay, hi everyone. Okay. Can you see the screen? I thought I'd put this one up for the first time, so you can read that. It's great to be on the show, David and everyone else here on the show. It's a great show. Really enjoy being here. Just to tell you a bit about, for those of you who haven't heard about TradeSmart, so the website is tradesmartforex.com. It's we're a trading education business, and we focus primarily on teaching you how to read the market. Many people out there are focused more on strategy-based trading. We kind of start learning how to read the markets and then build our strategies based on what we're seeing reading the markets. It's a more holistic approach. It's a wider kind of view. And we teach you how to read the market professionally and how to run a successful trading business. It's not good enough just to learn how to read the market. You need to know how to put it into practice and run a business. So we include in that how to develop your own trading plan and strategies which fit your personality and lifestyle. And again, a stress on fitting your personality and lifestyle. You cannot trade someone else's plan unless you make it your own first. If it doesn't fit your personality, then it's just not going to work for you and you'll give up. So that's one of the most important things, to find yourself as a trader and find a plan or a way of trading, a style of trading that fits you. And that's what we do. So cool. Thanks again for being on the show.
Glad to have you back again. Always enjoy having you on, obviously. Jody, let's go to you next. For those of us who don't know you, Jody Samuels from FXTradersEdge.com. Tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about FXTradersEdge.com. You may be muted still.
I think you can hear me now. Is that right?
Yes.
Good. So I started trading quite a while ago as an institutional trader for U.S. Investment Bank in the early 80s, actually. I started trading currencies. I was on the interbank desk of JP Morgan. I worked for them for 15 years. That was my start in trading. trading. And I've always had an Elliott Wave bent. So I learned Elliott Wave analysis while on the desk at JP Morgan. We hired an analyst from the Chicago Board of Trade to come on the desk and really help the traders tell everybody on the desk where they thought to do the analysis for us. When I left the bank, I had to learn how to do this analysis myself. So I became my own Elliott Wave expert. And our company, FXTradersEdge.com, has been using Elliott, Fibonacci, and harmonics for the last 10 years, giving traders the education to develop a context for the market. So we believe in doing a top-down approach and looking at the market cycles. And from the market cycles, we're able to then trigger an entry based on our strategy. We use the wavy tunnel strategy. So we are an education company. We also provide daily services on wave counts. We have trading rooms or trading and analysis rooms. And we also have a signal service, which is up 78% so far this year. Wow. I don't want to say that it's going to continue, but it's up 78% on a live trading account. Cool. So yeah, so that's that. So it's really good to be on the show. Thanks very much. And I am in Canada. You're right. North America. Cool. Simon. Okay.
Okay. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dave Landry from DaveLandry.com. I've been at this a long time. I think John's been at it a little bit longer. But anyway, I've been on both sides of the business in the mid-90s. I guess it's more late 90s. I was part of one of the first websites for traders, and then I eventually started DaveLandry.com. I've worked with hedge funds for many years, and I believe that you can only predict short-term when it comes to markets, but the real money's in longer-term trading. Unfortunately, longer-term trading, your drawdowns are going to be abysmal, and your percent correct is going to be even worse. So I take a hybrid approach, trading for both short-term and longer-term gains. If you want to get to know me, go to DaveLandry.com/CFN for crowd forecast news. Put your information in and I'll send you a bunch of stuff to get started, including a $100 gift certificate. So you can read all three of my books and get a feel for what I do. I'm also working on a learning management system, which I think is going to be pretty cool. And we're in beta test on that right now. And I also have a trading service where I provide daily stock picks. And I've been doing that for probably, I don't know how long, maybe 15 years or so. Anyway, let's go back to you, John, and we'll go with the first question of the week. And let me read it. I always tend to summarize and read it wrong, but what direction do you think the S&P index will move from today's open to Friday's close? And then the second part of that question, or question two, is rate your confidence to your answer by estimating the probability that you have correctly predicted this week's market's move.
Well, whether it goes up or down, it'll be a very small movement. You know, I'm positioned on the short side, so I vote for down, but it won't be by much. You know, we're playing this with an in-the-money put spread on the S&P 500. Confidence that it won't move very much, 100%. You know, we are caught in a liquidity trap in the market, like the rest of the country, the market split 50-50 and doesn't want to move at all. So, you know, the only reason we haven't had a crash yet is because everyone's waiting for great earnings to come out in October.
Gotcha. So you think we might be priced for perfection here? What I can't understand is, where's the volatility? We haven't really seen it yet, and we are in September.
We aren't. You know, the long-term money is staying in. You know, there is, you know, if you're expecting record earnings to start in a month, you don't want to sell now. So that has essentially sucked all the liquidity out of the market. You know, people don't want to buy more and they certainly don't want to sell what they've got. So we're kind of stuck here and we're just keeping very small positions right now, chipping away at the edges in the bond market and in volatility. You know, we shorted that run up in volatility to 15, came out at 12, played bonds on the short side. Stocks aren't offering a lot right now.
Gotcha. And then just FYI for everybody here, in the next segment, if you want to share a screen, feel free to do so. In fact, I would encourage you to do that since everybody seems to enjoy that part of the show. Simon, let's go to you next. What direction do you think the S&P is going to head this week? And rate your confidence that you have correctly estimated that.
I would like to say sideways, but that's not an option, is it?
Well, that's what I just said, sideways. So
basically, sideways.
Up and down move.
We're kind of starting sideways on the weekly. I think it's probably going to have a minor correction this week, potentially, but I think it's still got room to move up if we can break over the current highs. So again, I'm like 50-50 this week.
Okay. All right, Jody, let's go to you. Same question.
Gee, I like to be against the crowd, but this crowd is a smart crowd. That's how I can justify. I think we're in a range. So because we're at the top end of the range, I'm going to say we're going to close the week lower. But I wouldn't be, I guess question three would be why. I'll save it for question three. I do see us still moving higher, but for the week range, just looking at the last four trading weeks, the high based on the CFDs that I trade, 29.16, the low 28.65. It's probably not going to go that low, but just range, 60% probability that we will stay within this range. So I'm just going to say lower only because we're at the high end of the range.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with higher and nothing fancy there. And I'll show you a couple little things in the next segment as to why. But the bottom line is, as long as the market is at or near all-time highs as a trend follower, and some people call me a trend following moron, actually, a name I did not like at first, but now I embrace it, got the button, the t-shirts, and the domain. Anyway, as long as we're at or near new highs, I'm going to err on the side of longer-term trend. And I'll show you one simple little reason for that in the next segment. But before we do that, let's go back to you, John. You're in the hot seat next. And the question is, do you have any specific reasons? And you basically said we're going nowhere. And I think you already shared a few of those. But if you have anything else you want to add to that, any reasons for your answer on the fact that you believe the market will go nowhere this week?
Well, you know, the question you asked is, what's it going to do by Friday? And I said lower. Okay. But the long-term trend is up. You're right. You know, the trend following still works. They always work until they don't work.
And, yeah, exactly.
You know, the thing that people seem to be underestimating is that just such massive global liquidity, you know, from 10 years of QE, is going to take another 10 years to get that liquidity out of the system. Until then, it's looking for a home. And the number one home these days is U.S. stocks, especially technology stocks. So, you know, when there's $50 trillion of overnight deposits around the world looking for a home, not only stocks don't go down very much, nothing goes down very much.
Gotcha. Okay, let's go to you next, Simon. Any developing events or anything you want to elaborate? And feel free to share your screens if you'd like to on why you think there's a 50% chance the market may go higher by Friday.
Okay, or 50% chance lower as well. There you go. Okay. That's just the way I approach the markets anyway, and I'll go into more of that as we get more into this. You can see my charts?
Yes.
So you can see if we go from the monthly chart, I'm a top-down kind of trader, go from the top down, sometimes bottom up. And again, that's depending on what the scenario is. But we go from the top down, we're kind of in an uptrend here on the monthly chart. We're kind of still uptrending on the weekly chart, but starting to move a bit sideways here. And as Jody said, we're at the top of this kind of range. If we look on the daily chart, we're kind of right into this range. Yeah. But we went above these highs. We haven't gone above the whole like global high here. So we're moving down a bit. And another interesting thing that you can see, especially with trading in ranges, the CCI is very useful. You see CCI divergence here. You see the market made new highs above these highs, yeah, above over here, and the CCI, well, or roughly equal highs, and the CCI made a lower high. That kind of is an indication that it's not ready to break out quite yet. It doesn't mean it's not going to, but it's just an indication that we may actually start moving down a little bit, which is what we're doing so far today. And but still, if we look at the bigger picture, we're still pointing up. But if we look at the monthly chart, we're after a number of months to the upside. And as we, you know, and we can see here, we went many months up before we actually had a pullback. So we may be due for a pullback, but this may just be a pause to go higher. And I think it could end up being a pause to go higher because we cleared these highs on this move up. So we're just basing around and consolidating here. I guess people don't know quite what to do at these new highs, whether to continue buying, as you said, or to actually start selling what they had, because maybe it's going to go higher. So that's the reason why.
Simon, I no longer use any oscillators, but they do kind of fascinate me a little bit here and there. The CCI, yeah. Refresh my memory. Is that a bound indicator like a stochastic, or is that something that can go past 100 or 200 or whatever?
It the majority of the time goes between my. This is the only indicator I use, by the way. I'm purely price action trader. Yeah, I use it primarily for ranging markets and for trading bases, for timing entries on the lower time frames. Otherwise, I don't use it at all. So
cool.
It depends what the market's doing, whether I'm going to use it. I have a very kind of specialized way that I've developed over much of 10 years, actually, to I noticed the same things happening in the CCI along with price action, and put the two together. It's pretty powerful. A way of learning how to actually trade bases, which way they're going to break out, and to get in inside the base before before it breaks out. So I have a kind of way of doing that pretty successfully. Cool. So that's what I use the CCI for. So again, it's an oscillator. It ranges most of the time between minus 100 and plus 100, but you see there are periods of time where it actually goes. And the majority of the time it is, but you do get kind of oversold is below the minus 100, overbought is above the 100. And that's it. It measures overbought and oversold. And kind of you can use also, I mean, I have a webinar. You can go to my website. I have a webinar. You can just search, look for CCI, and there's a webinar on what it is, where it comes from, how to use it.
Okay, cool. All right, Jody, you're up next. Any developing events or anything that would help to support your prediction of up for this week?
Okay, let me, I didn't say up, I said down, because we're at the...
Oh, my mistake.
Well, it really, okay, let me just put my screen up. Can you see my screen?
We can.
Okay, this is CFD for the S&P. I think there's a big week this week with the trade talks with, you know, regarding China and the new tariffs that the U.S. is threatening to impose, and also the U.S.-Canada NAFTA talks. Now, I recognize that the S&P moved up during the, you know, initial trade talks. Or trade threats. But I do think that if these are resolved, and I don't know, something tells me that Canada will join NAFTA by the end of the week. That's what I'm thinking. And that could cause, I think the market is waiting for some positive news out of that, as well as obviously out of China. So we will break out up out of this range if we get positive news on either front. That's my feeling. Okay. So I'm not sure that it's going to come before Friday, but easily next week, we should see a breakout up. But based on the technicals, if we look at the first chart on the upper left, we have 4 weeks of trading within a narrow range. So that's really what I'm basing my weekly outlook on, that we're going to hold that weekly range. And if we move to the daily, I don't see Elliott wave patterns usually move in threes. So we have an A and a B. And here, let me just see if I can just show you what I mean by this. So I'm looking at this, that we could do something like this for the three-wave pattern. And on the four-hour, it would look something like that. And you can't really see it on the hourly because, well, you just can't. That's the move up and the move down. So this is also telling me that maybe we are in for a flat correction, which is a sideways correction, which would bring us down a little bit before the market moves up again and takes out the previous highs. So okay, That's what I'm looking at.
Cool. All right. Gotcha on that. Okay. I think I forgot to say what percentage corrects, and I'll just pull something out of the air. The S&P index is a very choppy market. I'm not a big fan of choppy market systems, but if I had to trade one, I probably would trade it in the S&P 500. So as a trend guy, even though it trends longer term, over the very short term, it can be quite choppy. So I'm going to go with up again on that 65%. And the reason I'm going to say up, nothing really that advanced, and I'll show you the system here in just one second, but we just made an all-time high recently here. We're just off of all-time highs. And I like to work with really simple systems. If you go to my website right now, it says trend following is easy as 1, 2, 3. It's going to bring you to an article that I wrote for Proactive Trader Magazine. And if you roll down, you can see that as long as the market is less than 10% away from its all-time highs, or in this particular case, I use 250-day high, what happens is it's usually a good idea to err on the side of longer term trend. You can see this longer term trend that we saw, I forget exactly when this chart was. I guess that's from the 90s, and this is a weekly chart. You can see we had a nice run higher. Recently, we did come down and tag that area, and then when the market turned back up, so that's what I would call a whipsaw, and there's a picture of that too, you can see. But that's okay. The market turned right back up, and so far it's had a pretty good run, and even this last little sell-off we had, we didn't even get to 10%, which I think is pretty cool. I like to keep things really simple. You can see there's a moving average on here. One thing that always amazes me, a lot of times I'll be in presentations, and I'll have 100 buy and sell signals on a chart, and something as easy as what I call Dave-lite or daylight, meaning that the lows are greater than the moving average, can keep you in the trend for a very, very, very long time. And I've also have a few articles on Dave Light if anybody is interested. So I keep it really super simple. And again, as long as we're at or around new highs, I'm not going to get too excited about the market. And I'm going to err on the side of the longer term trend. Okay. Let's go to Adrian. And the question,
I have a question for Adrian before we move forward.
Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
You know, saying that if Canada joins NAFTA by Friday, we get an upside breakout is a little bit like saying if the sun rises, it'll be light. What makes you think Canada will join NAFTA by Friday? Do you have some inside information up there in Canada, or is this just a feeling?
I think that was Jody you're referring to. Go ahead, Jody. Jody, can you hear us?
Jody, you're muted again.
She's muted, yeah.
It's just there are some deadlines approaching. I don't know that Friday is going to be the day. I'm thinking that they're just everything that I've read today and yesterday is pointing to, there were some allusions to or to, you know, meetings to try to get this resolved by Friday. That's all.
Right. But we've missed all the other deadlines so far. What makes you think this one's going
to
work?
Because we're just getting closer and closer. And also we're coming into midterm, the midterm elections. And I just think that there's got to be some action. That's all. It's just a feeling.
Okay. All right, Adrian, we're going to give you a little extra time on this one based on your expertise as a psychologist. So the question is, what are the most important mental and emotional characteristics for traders to develop?
Well, the qualities that I look at for traders is the qualities that I look at for any entrepreneur. First of all, you have to love what you do, because in trading, you're going to go through a lot of bumps over the years. Most traders take at least 3 years to become profitable. You have to be a self-starter. You have to be rational in your thinking. You have to be optimistic, entrepreneurial. I could go on and on. And what I'd like to do in this segment is I have questions that people have asked me over the years. And I had about 70 questions. I'm just going to ask myself a couple of these questions that typically are asked of me when I do these type of programs. One of the questions is, why do traders find it difficult to enter trades on time? One of the reasons traders find it difficult to enter trades on time is because they have a thought that is in conflict with their strategy. A good conditioning to follow your strategy is to see a signal, recognize it's familiar, feel good about it, and then take the trade. A bad conditioning is when you form a habit of seeing a signal, recognizing it's familiar, feeling good about it, and then you hear a voice. You know, you sure you know what you're doing? Remember the last time you did that and lost? Why don't you wait till you get more confirmation? Then you feel bad about the conflict and don't take the trade, or you're in too late. The way to change this pattern is by first recognizing that it is there and change the picture to get a positive response. However, most people won't think to do this. Another issue is when you are past the point of getting the original picture of a loss and just get a sensation that doesn't feel good. This sensation is usually based on fear. The trader either doesn't trust himself or doesn't trust his strategy. He doesn't trust his strategy, he must go back to testing or simulation until he does. He doesn't trust himself, then he must practice mental rehearsal or get help. Another question that comes to me many times is, why am I so afraid of losses, even the small ones? Everything bad that's ever happened to you in your life has something to do with a loss. And what people do is when they feel especially those bigger losses is they don't want to feel the feeling. So they bury that feeling and it becomes part of your neurology. Actually, it becomes part of your cellular structure. So when a trader is trading and they have their first loss, well, no big deal. It's part of trading. Then they go through their second loss. Well, that's not, you know. And by the time they get to the third or fourth loss, then what happens is they go into that place that all of the losses of their life, they've buried and put into storage. And then they feel the feelings of all those losses. So it's not only about the loss in trading, but it's about the loss of all of those feelings that they've had in their life. And then what happens is when they come to the next time that they have a loss in trading, and it could be only one loss, they dip into those feelings and they're not sure of why this is happening. but the feelings come up without the stories. And until you drain out that swamp, what's going to happen is you're going to have those emotions come up every time you're trading. And that's why people find it difficult to enter trades because of their emotions. Let's see, another question. How can traders improve their discipline? Discipline for traders is about having a predetermined strategy for entering and exiting a trade and sticking to that strategy. Discipline for a trader starts before they even start to think about trading. It's all about a mindset for allowing conditioning to keep agreements and follow through on what you have planned in all areas of your life. If you make it okay to break your agreements, then you make it harder for your neurology to support you in keeping your agreements and in the process of becoming a trader. You need discipline in the overall plan you have for your trading career. You need discipline for reading and studying trading. You need discipline to come up with a trading business plan and to be able to follow it. So how you improve your discipline in trading is to improve your discipline in life. Follow through on your agreements. Make sure that you are on time and don't make an agreement that you can't keep. Another way to improve your discipline is to take on agreements in the past that you have broken, such as exercise, a diet, learning a new language, organizing, cleaning. If you can't or will not discipline the activities in your life, then you don't expect to receive the reward of consistent profitable trading. So those are three of the questions. I can go on and on if you want me to answer more questions that I have here.
Well, we'll circle back to you in a minute, Adrian, and we would like to hear a little more, but let's get to this round first, and then we'll come back and have you say a few more things, because it's interesting. You talk about the loss. I didn't think about a loss in life, but that makes a lot of sense. But I had a client once, and I forget where I initially read it, but somebody once said that when you have a loss on a trade, it's not that loss in and of itself, but it's every other loss prior. All those bad demons or whatever you want to call it, feelings come in. And that really clicked with him. But I never really thought about it. It pulls back to losses in life and things like that. So I think that's a pretty interesting angle on that. So good stuff. But we're going to circle back to you towards the end of the program, and then we'll give you some more time on that. In the meantime, Jody, let's go to you. And the question is, I may have gone out of order here, but let's go ahead with you since we called on you. What are the most important mental and emotional characteristics for traders to develop?
Okay. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting that you asked this question because I actually wrote a book called The Trader's Pendulum, The 10 Habits of Highly Successful Traders. And I spoke at the Toronto Money Show on Friday, and I was asked this question. What are the most important mental and emotional characteristics for traders to develop? Well, I was asked in a different question. But what I said was, and what I really believe is, and of course, Adrienne gets into it on a much deeper level, as you can tell. But I think we as traders need to be very organized. And I'm really speaking for myself, being organized and masters of time and self-management. Because when I show up that way in my life, my trading is much better organized as well. So it's not just, I don't know, you don't call that an emotional characteristic. Maybe it's just part of the mental process that one has to go through. And then the other thing is being focused. So I actually asked my students this morning, I asked them that question. And one of them, and they agreed with me on the organization and they agreed with me on the focus. And what the focus meant for one of the students that answered this was that when he believes the strategy, then he has more confidence as a trader and he can be more focused. But he needs to believe the strategy first to have confidence in the strategy. So I think that's also true. But being focused is so important because we get so distracted by things going on around us. And it's just, it can be terribly distracting. So organization and focus.
Cool. And hold the book again. What's the name of the book?
It's called The Trader's Pendulum, The 10 Habits of Highly Successful Traders.
Okay. I'll check it out. Thank you.
I'd like to say something about focus.
Go ahead.
There are several levels of consciousness. There's the level of consciousness where you're doing 10 things at one time, where you are honing in on 7 to 9 bits of information. Then there is the subconscious mind where you're you have access to 24,000 bits of information. This is when you're staring at something and somebody will say, Jody, and then Jody will jump up and say, what, you know, because she is totally honed in on what she's doing. Traders that stay in the conscious level don't have access to all of the information that comes from the markets and from themselves. People that can get into that focus state where it's very deep. There's the beta state, which is 7 to 9 bits of information. There's the alpha state, which is the deep state of consciousness. That is the state you have to be in to be a consistently good trader.
Okay. All right, Simon. I know Simon has done a lot of work on psychology. We've talked about it a few times. So, Simon, the question is, what are the most important mental and emotional characteristics for traders to develop?
Yeah, I love this question because this is really the core of what you need to achieve in order to become successful. Now, I've noticed over coaching many traders over the years that how people have issues. Yeah. And again, trading is a reflection of you as a person as well. And in order to become a master trader, you have to really master yourself. Now, what I've noticed is that once you've got confidence, and confidence doesn't come from, you know, it's not in the air, it comes from concrete success, or not even a belief in what you're doing works. It's a knowledge that the strategy that you're trading or the system that you're trading produces the results that you want. Once, if you were trading a system, I would say, here's a system, just follow the rules. I'm teaching you exactly what it is, and you understand it on a deep level, not just when, you know, when you're taking a trade, for example, you understand what it's built on and why it should work. So you've got that deeper level of knowledge, not just like green light, go on, buy, red light, go on, sell, without really understanding what you're doing or following some signal service, which is difficult to do unless it has a proven, unless it's proven itself over time and you can actually follow it and believe, you know, there you need a belief because you don't know what it's built on, for example. So if you're trading a system that has a positive expectancy, that means over a large enough number of trades, you will have, you know, you'll make money, then that should give you the confidence. And if you know ahead of time what your statistics are, for example, say it's you have a batting average of 50%, that means half your trades are going to be losers and half winners. And that your average winner is, say, 1.5 times your average loser, that is a winning system. So if you're trading that and you go through a losing trade, you have to have the attitude of who cares, because you have to take those losing trades, you know, 50% of them, in order to be successful with the whole system. So if you, every trade that you take is a, you know, life and death situation, then you haven't really understood what you're doing and you're not going to trade with confidence. You've missed the point of what trading's all about. Yeah. So I believe that a lot of those issues are based on a lack of knowledge of what trading is and what you should be doing as a trader, which breeds some of the issues that you may have anyway and bring them to light, like taking a losing trade. When you realize that a losing trade is part of a winning system, then you'll be happy to take it because you know at the end of the month you're going to be positive and you're going to make money. So why should it affect you? In the same way as if you didn't know that, of course it's going to affect you. Have a losing trade and you don't know what your system produces and you've got no idea what you're doing as a trader. You're just taking random stabs at the market with the hope to, you know, make the losses back from the previous trade and maybe let's go bigger size and all that. That's the way that you're going to destroy yourself, and it's going to bring out all those issues that you have maybe on a subconscious level from maybe the past. So what I've found over time is that working on building and developing new habits will kind of override the bad habits and give you the confidence and implant that on the subconscious level that it no longer affects you anymore. Taking a losing trade is just like part of the business.
Simon, how mechanical are you in your trading? Would you say you're more mechanical than discretionary, or how would you see yourself?
I am very mechanical on following the rules of my system.
Okay.
And what it is, it's not just following the rules of the system. It's built on a background of understanding how to read the market on a very, very high level. Like, that's our edge. We read the market better than anyone out there. We can understand any market and what the odds are in that market. We basically go to the level in the training that we go through that goes through every single phase, every single scenario a market can be in and what you should be doing in those scenarios and what the odds are in two dimensions and three dimensions and multiple time frames. So, you know, for example, how do you consolidate? You're in an uptrend on the daily chart, but in a downtrend on a 1 hour chart. How do you consolidate that? What are your expectations? If you're taking a short trade, for example, with the daily, with the 1 hour downtrend against the daily uptrend, for example.
Okay.
So you know ahead of time, you know, the kind of scenario the market's in and what your expectations are, and then you can adjust the way you trade in different market conditions.
Okay, cool. John, we hadn't forgotten about you over there. Do you have any thoughts on all this?
I thought I was watching the Health Channel or the Retirement Channel or something like that. It's really, you know, after 50 years of practicing, it all comes down to discipline, discipline, discipline. I know plenty of people on Wall Street who are only right 50% of the time, but always make money because they have the right discipline. You know, they run their longs, they have aggressive stop loss strategies. And even if you're flipping a coin or throwing a dart at a board, you can make money with that strategy. The other thing to keep in mind is that making money in the stock market is an unnatural act. It goes against 50 million years of evolution. When prices are down, most humans want to sell. You know, it equates to running away from a saber-toothed tiger. You know, when markets are up, they want to buy because that equates to finding a tree full of fresh fruit, which you can eat all day long. And to make money, you have to override these natural instincts and do the opposite. So that means buying low, selling high. Everybody talks about it. No one ever does anything about it. So that's what I do with my service, is that these big, huge sell-offs like we had in February, we're just hammering away at people to keep their longs and buy more. And at euphoric, bubblicious type tops like we had in January, we go 100% cash and are looking to play on the short side. So, you know, it's a situation where the most obvious answer is the correct one, but then no one ever actually does it.
Okay. Yeah, you and I think are opposite ends of the spectrum on that one, John. But that's why I'm just a trend following moron, just following along. But I hear you on that. I understand what you're doing. Adrian, are you chiming in here? Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to give you a short story. I worked with a trading group in Singapore, one of the top banks, and they hired their traders by hiring from the best of Harvard, Yale, Oxford, Cambridge. And they gave them systems that they said, these strategies work. All you have to do is follow them. Here's $250,000. If you lose $50,000, you're out. I mean, they probably would get a better job anyway when they're out. But that was the whole idea of the bank. Of those people that they hired, 10% of them would actually be able to follow the rules, and only 1% would become a top trader. So it's not always the smarts. It's those the people that can follow rules, those the people that have confidence in themselves. And I'm looking at all the things that everybody has said about traders. You have to have the ability to be the disciplined person, to follow your rules, have the confidence in yourself, to believe in what you're doing in order to be a top trader.
Yeah, gotcha. I have to back that up and say at Morgan Stanley, we had two kinds of people. We had Ivy League pedigreed people who'd been to all the right schools, and they could not make a money in the market if their life depended on it. And then we had a bunch of guys from Queens, Staten Island, some of them have never even been to college, but they had incredible street smarts, knew a deal when they saw it, and they made all the money on the trading front. So the Ivy League guys all became salesmen or they went into investment banking.
Yeah, got you on that.
Hey, okay. I beg your pardon. I went to an Ivy League school.
You don't have to apologize.
Okay. Just this morning, ironically, I was working on the learning management system. I think I may have mentioned earlier, which I've been working on for about a year now. And I've come to the part of trading psychology, and the name of the series is 3-part series, Traits of Traders. And I just wrote down a couple of them because there's quite a few and I would spend a lot of time talking about this, but just real quick, number one, or in no particular order, but I think probably number one would be patience. And there's two forms of patience. One is the patience to wait for your pitch, to wait for your setup. And this is hard for a lot of people, especially successful people, especially smart people, because they're not used to sitting around waiting. And sometimes in trading, that's a thing to do. The other form of patience is once you're in a trade, let it develop. We had a stock recently. It went sideways for almost a whole month right after it triggered in. And I got an email from one guy saying, hey, you know what? I'm out. The next day, of course, it jumps 30%. And I see that happen all the time. People don't they're not willing to follow a system, they're not willing to, and it doesn't have to be a mechanical system, just general rules in general, so to speak. They just don't have the patience to do it. A big one is being humble, and I'm only going to talk about a few of them, so I won't go long. When I was working on this piece about 2 years ago that I'm editing now, I Googled Trader or did a YouTube on Trader, and the first thing came up was a guy in a Lamborghini selling his stuff, and he had a big-breasted woman stretch her arms out, and he's riding around with this woman like, hey, look at me, you could easily do this. And it's kind of interesting. There's a book called The War of Art, not The Art of War, but The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. And he had a quote in there that really struck a chord with me. The counterfeit innovator is wildly self-confident. The real one is scared to death. And even though I've been at this for a long, long time, I'm still humbled by the market quite often. I'm seeing all these ads out there now. I've gotten myself on all these lists by accident or not, where it's like, hey, I just made $10,000. I haven't eaten my breakfast yet. I do this every day. I doubt that very seriously. And that's one of the problems in this industry, the educational side at least, is everyone thinks that it's that easy. And no, you have to work at it. You have to be really patient. Two more real quick. Accountability. I think that's the biggest thing. We have this amazing amount of autonomy in this business. Nobody tells us what to do or when to do it, which that kind of goes against society. We're used to functioning within certain boundaries, a boss or whatever. But in this business, you don't have any. So you have to be accountable to yourself. I have a client that does really, really good. And then he kind of blows up a little bit. Then he does really, really good. And then he gets careless and kind of blows up a little bit. He really knows what he's doing. And I asked him once, I said, look, would you be willing to show your wife what you're doing? Show her the rules of the system. Show her the money management. Show her why you're picking these certain stocks and what you're doing. And then follow the plan and show her that you follow the plan. And he says, oh no, that would end the marriage. So that tells me right there that he's not willing to be accountable. And one other one, which sometimes I have a hard time explaining, but it kind of goes against the humble one, that it's flippant. Really good traders are flippant, but they're flippant in their actions. They're willing to stop out of a position and then move on, get on with their lives, go on to the next position. They're willing to, like, for instance, a lot of times I don't even remember what markets I'm long or short. I actually have to pull up my account or watch a quote screen to figure out which markets I'm long, which markets I'm short, because I've reached a point where I just don't care. Now, I still get very emotional and I'm still trying to become less emotional. Now, here's the thing. You cannot eliminate emotions from your trading because it's part of our makeup, as John alluded to way back to the caveman times. We still have that primal part of our brain in there down in the limbic system, the amygdala and all these other things that cause us to make these very emotional decisions. In fact, you can't make any decision without emotions. So I'm trying to learn to embrace those emotions a little bit more and recognize when I'm having those feelings and not make those emotionally charged decisions. So just these four are four big ones. There's plenty more, but patience, being humble, accountable, and then flippant when it comes to an individual trade or what markets you're trading, being a little bit agnostic in your trading in and of itself. Okay, Adrian, let's go back to you. You said you had some more thoughts on trading psychology for us, and then we'll bring it back to everybody else to see if they want to add in anything too.
One of the things that traders ask is, in your many years of coaching, what are the main reasons traders fail? I'm sure you guys can add to this, but off the top of my head, traders fail, number one, because they come into it thinking that they're going to make $1 million at first. They don't realize the discipline that is necessary in studying the markets and understanding not only the markets, but themselves. They fail because they come into this thinking that they're going to make a lot of money. And then all of a sudden, no one makes money in the markets. People will ask me, can you introduce me to anybody that is making money in the markets that's really telling the truth? That I get so many times. People fail in the markets because they don't have a system, methodology, their criteria for entering and exiting a trade that they believe in, because they have either back-tested it or forward-tested it or have done both. People fail because they can't follow the rules that they've set up. One of the things a trader needs to have is a checklist. And when they go down that checklist of entering a trade, they don't go back. When they see the different criteria they use for entering a trade, they don't go back and say, oh, I'm going to check back on this. Oh, I'm going to check back on that. Because then entering a trade is usually too late, or they get too emotionally distraught and they can't enter the trade at all. So that's some of the reasons traders traders fail. You have to love this business. You have to get up in the morning and say, hot damn, it's a new day. I just can't wait to trade. Because if you're doing it just to make money, you're going to fail.
All right. Okay. We usually do a trade of the week. Do you guys individually have any trades of the week? John, do you have anything you want to throw out as a possible trade of the week? We're running a little late, but if you have something, that'd be great.
You know, we have a deep in the money S&P 500 put spread, which is a bet that the SPYs go sideways, down, or up small in the next 5 days. It's Friday is options expiration week. We're running a very short dated book because we think the risk in the market is extremely high. And everything we've got expires on Friday.
Okay.
And we've just covered all our shorts in the bond market.
What's your strike on that? Is that easy to explain real quick?
We are long the 296 September SPY puts, and we are short the September 294. Actually, it's a 297, 294 put spread.
So okay, so it's pretty tight. It's a tight spread.
It is, but, you know, 1 week to expiration, you know, actually 4 trading days from here.
Okay. Okay, Simon, let's go to you. You have a trade of the week for us this week?
Okay, can you see the screen?
We can.
It's not really a trade of the week. It's just an idea that may develop as a long-term trade. And this could be, as I said to the people in our trading room, this could be where the pound moves up from. And I had these kind of zones marked out ahead of time. You can see the market. Here's moving. It's a monthly chart. You can see it kind of moving up on the weekly chart. This could end up being where we move up on the pound and get back to kind of reasonable levels. So something to keep an eye on. At the end of the month, we'll know more clearly and whether pullbacks are buyable, and we're going to start moving up again.
I hope you're right on that. I'm short the dollar in other markets. So good job on that. Okay, let's see. Jody, you have a trade of the week for us this week?
I'll just show something.
Sure.
Okay, I don't know if you can see this. Can you see my screen?
We can.
Yeah, so I was in the trading room this morning as well, and these are the yen pairs, all the yen pairs. So they're blue from the 4-hour down to the 5-minute and some on the daily. I think these trends should continue, so I'm bullish on the yen pairs, obviously more bullish on some than others. So I'm not going to go into the details, but we did look at the pound yen actually, and I like that. So I just think to keep an eye on the pound, the yen pairs. So I think they're higher. Yeah.
Okay. I don't have a trade per se, but what I would recommend you do, what's been working well for me lately, knock on wood, is one of my strategies is to buy an IPO at a new closing high when the low is greater than the 5-day simple moving average. There's a few caveats to it, but the system is on my website. And if you can't find it, I'll help you find it. Or if you go to the davelander.com/CFN, you can get that information there. And I'll show you a couple of examples of that if you're interested in that. But I think it's a pretty cool thing. The IPO bull market has been going on for a long, long time. The great thing about it that I've seen over the past several years is that when the IPO market overall cools off, you have a really big dichotomy to where something will come public like a Snapchat or a Blue Apron or something like that. And then it'll just immediately die. And if you're willing to wait at least 1 week before trading them, it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. So a couple things there. Let an IPO establish itself for at least 1 week, and then I can show you a simple little pattern. We don't have enough time in this venue to do it, but simple little pattern, just look for the low to be greater than a 5-day moving average and a new closing high. Believe it or not, it actually works out pretty cool. Okay, let's go do one more wrap around. We're a little short on time, but I want to give everybody a minute or two to wrap things up. Adrian, let's go to you first. Any closing thoughts about anything you discussed so far or anything else you want to tell us about tradingontarget.com? Floor's yours.
Yes, I would like to offer a special to your people, and that is I have an evaluation and a consultation with me that I do on Skype or on the phone, and you could either get it in my Trading on Target course or a package called the Trader Secrets Package. Those people that that decide that they would like to take advantage of this, I will give 25% off the website, and this will only be good till Friday.
Okay. All right, John, anything you want to mention?
You can come visit me at madhedgefundtrader.com. sign up for our free research product. We're very active traders in the market. We also put out a lot of long-term research where you catch doubles and triples in stocks. Just find us at madhedgefundtrader.com. Up 30% this year, 42% in the last year. And I look forward to working with you all in the future.
Okay, John. Glad to have you again. Simon, let's go over to you. Any closing thoughts? Anything else you want to tell us about TradeSmartForex.com?
Okay, so anyone here or anyone watching this can go to my website, TradeSmartForex.com. And if you want to learn about how to build a profitable trading strategy in about 15 minutes, what goes into it, what's the recipe for it, and what steps you need to go through, then you can put your details in here and you can get started. Again, I have there's educational videos here. You can see it's Timing Research Show. So the Timing Research Shows I've been on in the past are there. And there's free educational videos. You can go. So go and get an impression or get a feeling, you know, learn about what we do and see if it's for you. And if it is, you're welcome to come and join us. We also have a live trading room and there's more information here about some of our training and educational programs. So thanks again, David and David.
Yeah, glad to have you again, Simon. Someday I'll come visit you over there.
welcome anytime.
Looking forward to it. Dave Landry, DaveLandry.com. Again, if you go to DaveLandry.com/CFN, and that stands for Crowd Forecast News, put your information in. I'll give you a $100 reusable gift certificate where you can get all three of my books. And also, I have four videos on trading and a lot of other good stuff, kind of like Simon just kind of alluded to. Get to know me. See if it makes sense to you, if it's right for you. I keep things really, really simple, and you should be able to follow along. The hard part, as I think everybody here knows, is going to be the psychology, and I spent a lot of time on that too. Great show. I'll let Cosminer close it down because we're running a little bit late today, but I have to say this was a fantastic show.
You didn't give me a chance.
Oh, I didn't give you a chance. All right, Adrian, go ahead.
Jody.
Oh, Jody. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Back to basics.
Sorry about that.
Okay, so we're offering a $17 a month special, and then it renews at $75 a month. It's to have your own analyst by your side. You get access to analysis on 16 different markets every single day, a video every single day, plus our trading signals, which I said are up 78% so far this year. And just a note on that, the reason why they're up so much is because we extend our gains. So we use two or three different profit targets and we set our stop losses very, very small. So we've learned how to extend our profits and keep our stops really small. That's why the returns are so good. So that's it. EliteWaveDesk.com/start. EliteWaveDesk.com/start.
Okay. Sorry about that, Jody. Sometimes when it's more than a couple people here, it's hard to keep up. So my apologies on that. David Cosminer, let me turn it back over to you. Once again, thank you for having me here. And again, I apologize for that, Jody. And thanks again to Dave Cosminer. Thanks again to you guys for being here. And the floor is yours, David.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Great show. Just a reminder to everyone watching, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the past reports or shows there. Also, be sure to join us for Analyze Your Trade tomorrow. It's September 18th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can always go to timingresearch.com/live to get access to the live shows. And I just want to thank all my guests again for this week. Adrian Togre of Trading on target.com, first time guest, so great to have her here. Jody Samuels of fxtradersedge.com, Simon Klein of tradesmartforex.com, John Thomas of madhedgefundtrader.com, and Dave Landry of davelandry.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.